This is Teenage Sports with your host, Michael Barra. Got a special podcast here today. Is me and my guest are in the same room.
Yeah, I'm here. We've kind of been separated during quarantine, but I think y'all are going to enjoy this. It's Boom again, and I'm excited for this one.
So today we're going to be going over the best positions for each college or for college in general. So as many would say, they're you. So you got like QBU, you got running back U. What position you want to start off with? You want to go from the top of our list, Boom, or the special teams and go up?
You know, we normally start with offense. I say we go special teams, then defense.
All right, give them the...
All right, special teams U. I think it's none other than Texas Longhorns. Just because Justin Tucker and... who's my, in my opinion, will be the greatest kicker of all time.
I can agree to that.
And then Michael Dixon, who was really good punter in college, won the Ray Guy Award. He's really good. He's got a really strong leg. And then Dicker the kicker, playing right now. I think he'll end up being pretty good too. It's kind of hard to find schools with more than one good kicker in the league, but I think Texas definitely would be special teams U.
Yeah, I agree to that. That's the same one I have. We also have the same for our next one, defensive backs. We both have LSU. LSU has some really good players like Jamal Adams, Tyrann Mathieu, and Patrick Peterson, who, in the end of it, will probably all be Hall of Famers. Do you want to give your the caveat, though, or the one that everyone thinks is DBU?
Well, I wouldn't say everyone. I would think most, or a lot of people have Ohio State. I have LSU just because Patrick Peterson, Tyrann Mathieu, and Jamal Adams probably will all be Hall of Famers, in my opinion. Ohio State has Marshawn Lattimore, Denzel Ward, Eli Apple, and Malcolm Jenkins. But let's be real, Eli Apple's a straight-running bum.
He's awful. He's so bad.
And Marshawn Lattimore's good. He's still really young, though. Ward's really young. And Malcolm Jenkins' good. But I think LSU, just Patrick Peterson, Tyrann Mathieu, and Jamal Adams, come on. I mean, I don't think you can beat that. So I have LSU as the real DBU.
Yeah, they produce some names. There's some other good teams here. Bama produced Minka Fitzpatrick, Mark Barron, and HaHa. Florida State with Jalen Ramsey, arguably the best cornerback in the league. Derwin James, arguably probably the second best safety, and Myron Roll. I don't know who that is. Florida State is ranked 5 on this ESPN list, and I think it should be higher, honestly. I'd probably put him above Bama. I mean, Jalen Ramsey and Derwin are probably both 1 or 2 at their positions.
And then
they just probably don't have depth.
I guess Texas is pretty good. They have them at 6 at ESPN. I think they might, honestly, as a Texas fan, I'm saying they should be lower. Earl Thomas is really good, but I think people overrate Kenny Vaccaro.
Looking at this, Virginia Tech, Kyle Fuller, Cam Chancellor, and D'Angelo Hall. That's not a horrible 3. Probably don't have depth.
For a school like Virginia Tech. So
it's pretty impressive.
All right. LBU, linebacker U.
This is going to go quick. We're probably going to have to add to this. If we're already halfway through, we'll figure it out. But linebacker U, this one was pretty easy. We both have Georgia.
Yeah. Actually, I wouldn't say it was easy. I think Bama could also compete. But Roquan Smith, Justin Houston, and Alec Ogletree, all three really pretty good, but all went to Georgia. Bama has C.J. Mosley, Rolando McClain, and Dante Hightower. I'd just highlight C.J. Mosley and Dante Hightower there, pretty good. USC's decent, and I don't really think anybody can compete with Georgia and Bama, and I have Georgia getting the edge over Bama just because those three are all pretty good for Georgia.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with that one, too. We don't really have any – I think a lot of our disagreements are in the offense more. What is this, D-line? This one was interesting. ESPN ranked – what, they ranked Bama top?
Yeah.
So ESPN ranked Bama top for their defensive line, and I couldn't agree anymore. Ohio State has both the Boses.
Couldn't agree any less.
Yeah, good stuff. yeah, they have both the Boses. Nick Bosa probably being the better Bosa, but Joey is no slouch. And they have Chase Young, probably the best prospect last year, or the most, you know what you are going to get. You are going to get a very good pass rusher. And, like, I mean, I don't know what else to say. They got Sam Hubbard. They have Cam Hayward. Mike Who's Rabel.
Really good. Cam Hayward's really good. I know those people in Ohio that are Browns fans or Bengals fans don't like that he's a Pittsburgh Steeler. But, yeah, Cam Hayward's really good. I mean, their own coach is on this list. But, yeah, I don't understand why Ohio State's number six. I know all these good players that we're talking about are all young. I think that probably has a part in it. But I'm going to get on a rant later about somebody who's not on this list. So I don't know if they were going for old, going for young. It's kind of just a mess. Because we're using ESPN as a reference, but, you know, I think Ohio State should definitely be number one, not number six.
We let ESPN do all the research, and then we just criticize it pretty much.
Yeah, that's what we like to do here. Yeah. But I don't understand how anybody that is supposed to specialize in sports can put Ohio State at six just looking at these.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe it was just whoever, they were just thinking all these guys are pretty young. But,
well, I mean, if you're projecting careers,
I mean,
they should put Clemson, Ohio State higher.
Clemson has a pretty good, Grady Jarrett, Vic Beasley.
A lot of high draft picks.
Lawrence, all those guys. And then Bama has a number, they have a number one I don't agree with, really. But,
Cornelius Griffin, Antoine Odom, Terrence Cody, Marcel Darius, A'shaun Robinson, Jonathan Allen, Deron Payne, Deshaun Hand, and Quinnen Williams. Those are not, I don't know if there's a single player better or on there that's better than Nick Bosa.
No. Well, he's had one season, so let's.
I mean, he was the
defensive
rookie of the year, changed, and he was fantastic.
Yeah, but, yeah. All right.
So now we're going to O-line. I mean, this one was, you can only do so much with O-line. Not the prettiest position, but. They also have Bama ranked number one for O-line, but me and Boom.
Who made this list?
Whoever they like, yeah, they really like Bama. Now, we do have Bama higher on a few of these, but we both agree Wisconsin is O-line U with Joe Thomas, Hall of Famer, Kevin Zeitler, maybe Hall of Famer.
Zeitler,
sorry. Travis Frederick, one of the best centers in the league for the last few years, unfortunately just retired. Michael Dieter and David Edwards. Obviously, I just think they're a lot better than what Bama has to offer.
Yeah, I want to say when we talk about, you know, QBU, DBU, all these, we're talking about players who were in college and developed into really good pro players. So with that being said, that's why I have Wisconsin at number one. But if you want to talk about an honorable mention who's always had a great offensive line lately and also has some pretty good names up here still, Trent Williams and Lane Johnson for OU. They have Cody Ford up here. He's
Don't slouch on Orlando Brown either.
He was
on the Ravens.
Yes, yeah, so
he just got a payday.
OU could be up there too. I don't think they're better in Wisconsin just because of Joe Thomas, Kevin Zeitler, and Travis Frederick. But
why do I have an image that Oklahoma always has a bad O-line? Is it because of how they run their scheme?
No
just
way.
Because they have running
they have the best offensive line in the nation almost every year, in my opinion.
Maybe it's just how I think of their team.
They have the best O-line coach in the nation.
Really?
And it's, yeah, they definitely have the best O-line. And I mean, at least, they are playing the Big 12 defenses, but yeah, they do have a dominant O-line.
When I think about quarterbacks and I think about running quarterbacks, I always think it's because they're scrambling out of pressure. But, I mean, because think about it. Baker could scramble somewhat. Kyler obviously could scramble, and Jalen Hurts scrambled.
I mean, I'm sure that's helped their offensive line. But, yeah, they definitely have always had a great offensive line. So honestly,
I have Wisconsin, then Oklahoma, and then maybe Bama.
Yeah, definitely.
Because Michigan's pretty good. They got Stephen Hutchinson, a Hall of Famer. Jake Long and LaWine, both really good players.
Yeah, I don't really... None of these other schools.
Could possibly see TCU on here. They have a lot of good, decent pros.
They have 12 in the league right now, but only like one of them.
The Patriots guy is good.
Cannon. Yeah, Cannon. Only one of them's been pretty good. Tight end you.
This is where me and Boom disagree. I'll let you start. You can start going on your number one here.
All right, so I have Miami, the U. For tight ends, Jeremy Shockey, who was pretty good. Greg Olsen and Jimmy Graham, who are both two of the greatest to ever play tight end. We're talking like top 10, but still two of the greatest. And then David Njoku. Those are the most notable. So David Njoku's not even... Austin Hooper will start over him next year. He's a decent player, but Shockey, Olsen, and Graham, all very good. And I put them also, it's close between Miami and Iowa.
Mine is Iowa.
We saw the first time ever that two tight ends from the same team get drafted in the first round of the same draft, TJ Hockenson and Noah Fant. But they're still so young that I don't know if you can put them above. They've only played one season over Olsen, Graham, Shockey, and Njoku. They also have George Kittle, who's obviously very good, and Dallas Clark, who is very good. But I don't know. It's a toss-up. I think Kittle and Clark, obviously Hall of Famers, but Olsen and Graham are also Hall of Famers. So then it came down to who's better. Shockey and Njoku or Hockenson and Fant, and that's why I put...
And it also looks at what you value in a tight end. George Kittle is one of the newer breed tight ends, like a Gronk, a Kelce, I guess a Fant, Njoku, this faster possession receiver type player where... I mean, Jimmy Graham and Olsen can catch the ball, but I don't think they've... can catch the ball at George Kittle's rate necessarily. Well, they're not as fast. They have really good hands. Do you know where Witten went?
Tennessee.
I'm guessing Tennessee then has no one else.
You probably wonder why I'm not a Tennessee fan, being that Peyton Manning and Jason Witten both went to Tennessee.
It wouldn't make sense that you would like that. You're probably two better players.
The other UT, right?
Yeah, I guess.
The fake UT, but whatever. All right.
Now wide receivers. This one, we were looking at this list. Whoever wrote this list needs to be demoted.
I can maybe see where they're coming from if...
USC is their number one.
I can't see where they're coming
USC
from.
USC shouldn't even be in the top five, and here's why. Juju was not good last year. Yes, he was hurt. I love Juju. I love him so much. But how do we know he's going to be as good with Antonio Brown? Mike Williams is
actually pretty good.
He's not fantastic. Marquise Lee, pretty sure he's on the Jaguars, and Dwayne Jarrett. And that's who they have as the USC being number one. Right under them, Michael Thomas, going to be a great. Ted Ginn, one of the faster players in the league. And David Boston, I don't even know who David Boston is. All right,
so let me just... walk y'all through what happened here when we were playing for this podcast. We were looking at wide receiver U, and immediately we skipped past 1, 2, 3, and 4 and found LSU.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and we saw OBJ, Jarvis Landry, and Michael Clayton. Okay, but before them was Oklahoma State, who I love, but I don't think James Washington, Justin Blackmon, and Des Bryant can be put over LSU. And then Florida State, Ohio State, and USC were also above LSU. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, LSU must be it, right? But then I'm just kind of scrolling down just for fun, and I totally forgot about who is the truly best wide receiver U. And that is the Alabama Crimson Tide.
Sure is.
Amari Cooper, Calvin Cowboys. Ridley, Julio Jones, and let's just put Jerry Jeudy up there just for laughs. If we're going to do that, might as well put Henry Ruggs, right? So, Amari Cooper, Calvin Ridley, and Julio Jones, definitely, I don't even know what they're doing. Why is Bama above everybody else on all these other positions?
But and then Bama's 9 for wide receivers.
When
you have multiple Pro Bowlers, or maybe the best in the league.
Ah, yeah.
One of the best, obviously.
That's for another, that was a different podcast, but yes.
Oh, wait, I think I ranked Julio 4 or 5 in my wide receiver rank. I gotta stick to.
But still, Amari Cooper, Calvin Ridley, and Julio Jones, Jerry Jeudy, Henry Ruggs. I mean, come on, why are they 9? They're number 1.
Yeah.
Who are we kidding?
LSU is also very good. People forget how good Odell was. I mean, I hate Odell, to be honest with you. I think he's a crybaby. But he is so talented. Also, and so is Jarvis.
Also, looking at this list, just another thing that we get to critique ESPN on. Let's look at OU real fast. I know. Why isn't CeeDee Lamb listed here? If they list Jerry Jeudy, they're listing more. Well,
they're listing Sterling Shepard.
Sterling Shepard's decent.
He's decent, but is CeeDee Lamb really that far from being projected?
Worse than Ryan Vorios.
I don't know who those guys are.
Come on.
Yeah.
All right, anyway.
All right, running backs. This one was pretty dang easy to me, but... We both have Bama, but Boom has a few other teams you like to talk about.
All right, just to make this clear, Bama is the running back U for me. Mark Ingram, Derrick Henry, Sean Alexander. All three are very good. But let's look at some others. I don't have them actually in the notes, but I am going to talk about them. Oklahoma, Adrian Peterson, Samaje Perine, DeMarco Murray. I don't know why Samaje Perine's really listed here. He hasn't done much.
Because I needed 3.
Done much in the NFL. I think a better alternative would be, what's his name? Joe Mixon. Why isn't he over Samaje Perine? I don't know. I think they left a bunch of players out, and we're going to get to that. I think whoever made the running back portion of this left a lot of players out, because I don't know why Joe Mixon isn't up there.
It says a guy's name at the end of that paragraph. I wonder if these were here. Go back up. Chris Lowe. I wonder if that's someone that, like, they did each position a different person.
I think they might have. Okay, but then, so, honorable mention OU. Another honorable mention, a team that you never see even close to being on this list at any other position, Pittsburgh. James Conner, LeSean McCoy, and Deion Lewis. No, we're not talking about Penn State, who's in the same state. We're talking about Pittsburgh. you know, they've actually produced, for them not being a great school, I mean, I'm not going to say they're bad. They have winning records, but not top tier. They have produced some pretty good athletes. Aaron Donald went there, but they have James Conner, LeSean McCoy, Deion Lewis. Solid 3 right there. And then I'm going to talk about my Texas Longhorns. Okay, here's the 3 they have listed, who are all 3 pretty good, but they missed out one of the all-time greats, and I don't know what happened here. But Ricky Williams, Cedric Benson, and Jamal Charles. Oh, Chris Lowe, you kind of forgot somebody. Earl Campbell.
One of the greats.
Let's just...
He didn't have a very long career, but, I mean, he's a running back.
But, yeah.
A lot of them don't.
And he was playing in a era where he probably ran the ball 80% of the plays ran.
Yeah.
So, but still,
averaged about 5 yards.
He averaged 5 yards a carry his whole career, and come on now, yeah, I don't know why he's out. But Texas also has a good crew with Earl Campbell, Ricky Williams, Cedric Benson, Jamal Charles.
But yeah, definitely Bama is the number 1. They have Derrick Henry, Mark Ingram, and who else?
Who was it?
Sean Alexander. Yeah, that's just
who played for the Seahawks and
had 27 touchdowns 1 year. So.
Wait a second.
What?
Chris Lowe. You forgot about somebody, buddy. The Georgia Bulldogs. Todd Gurley, Sony Michel, and Nick Chubb.
Oh, yeah?
Why aren't they up here? Well, Todd Gurley, Sony Michel, and Nick Chubb are all really good.
They're all very young, but let's look at like the 10, because I'm trying to think of like why they couldn't have squeaked it in. Number 10 is Auburn. Cadillac Williams, Ronnie Brown, and Trey Mason. Or Arkansas, the team above. Two Cowboys right here. Darren McFadden, Felix Jones, and Peyton Hillis. You're here to tell me you can't fit in Georgia?
Even in Oregon.
LaMichael James, Jonathan Stewart, and LeGarrette Blount.
I'd say Georgia's better than Miami, too. I'd say they're better than LSU.
Well, didn't those three play on the same team? Or were they pretty close? Or at least two of them play on the same team?
They were.
I know that that
Gurley was on it. Gurley was they didn't get to play much with Gurley. They were on the team with Gurley, but
it's three running.
But
backs.
Yeah, they were all on the same in the same 4 year span.
Yeah, I definitely do agree with that.
Here they are right here. It says one team surprisingly absent from the running back U top 10 is Georgia, which has had its share of talented runners over the years. In the past 4 years, the likes of Sony Michel, Nick Chubb, and Todd Gurley have rumbled their way through Athens.
Oh, we blamed Chris Lowe, but he was disagreeing, so I don't know who.
But a lack of star power in the first half of the BCF's era held the Dogs back. Okay, that might be it then. Maybe he's ranking over a timeline, because he said all these guys came at the new college football playoff era, not the BCS era. So maybe they had a drought. Like for a long time, and maybe that's why they're just not putting there. But then,
so you're saying because they don't have depth,
but
they
then,
just have three players?
Yeah, he says over a timeline, so maybe since they all just came in just a span of time and they haven't had anybody else. But I don't know,
but those are, I mean, Sony Michel's not a star, but Nick Chubb is a star.
And Todd
Gurley. Hasn't played, good last year, maybe the year before.
No,
he's still a star.
He did good the year before. That's how he got his bag.
Oh, yeah, that is true. That's how he got his bag. So he only had one bad season.
Yeah, so I don't know. But, yeah, I'd put Georgia up there.
All right, we're going to go to quarterbacks now. We both have different ones here.
Wow, I can't believe we're already at the last position.
Yeah, I'll have some questions, and then maybe we can talk about some just base news.
All right, quarterback you want to start?
Yeah, I have OU. As much as that hates... We have loved on OU a lot, and that sucks because I don't like OU. But, I mean, they got track record. They got Baker, who I don't think is very good. But I don't want to love on the Browns, but you said it before. Kevin Stefanski is probably the best available coach that they could have got. He is a heavy runner, and that's going to work perfect for Baker. I've watched a lot of film since we have talked about the Browns because I wanted to see what you were talking about when you said they were going to win the Super Bowl. That team needs to run the ball and throw the ball short. What does Baker do well? Throw the ball short. And there are other players, Kyler Murray, Offensive Rookie of the Year, and Sam Bradford, who my co-host Boom is a Sam Bradford hater. I understand he wasn't a fantastic, but he's better than some of the players that Boom is about to say for his number one.
Okay, just give me that intro, all right? So, first off, I want to get the elephant out of the room. Colt McCoy played the same year Sam Bradford did, and Sam Bradford won the Heisman, and Colt McCoy came runner-up, even though Colt McCoy beat him head-to-head and had more passing yards, more yards per attempt, more touchdowns, and less interceptions.
Maybe this is why you don't like Sam Bradford. You have a vendetta against him.
I don't understand how Colt McCoy didn't win that Heisman. All the stats were better. I don't know. But anyway, doesn't matter anymore. What I do want to talk about, though, is the USC. And even my boy David Hale, who did the quarterbacks, has USC above OU. And I respect you, David. You're a great guy, David. We should go out for lunch sometime, David. USC. Carson Palmer, Matt Leiner, Mark Sanchez, and Sam Darnold. If you erase the butt fumble memory, Mark Sanchez, he played a long time in wasn't great, but he was in the NFL for a while. Better than Jason White and Sam Bradford. I'm sorry, but Mark Sanchez better than Sam Bradford. Sam Bradford never had a position. Like, he just, I mean, I know he's gotten injured, but that's, I mean, you can't just say, okay, because he got injured, that's an excuse. Sorry, but I think
it can't be an excuse if you're not on the field.
But he just wasn't good with the Vikings, and he couldn't find his spot. I mean, Mark Sanchez, I think, is better than him and Jason White. Matt Leiner, I think, falls in that same category.
Well, Sam Bradford wasted a lot of his years with one of the worst head coaches of all time, and with the Rams.
But then you got Carson Palmer and Sam Darnold. I would probably put Sam Darnold and Baker same level right now. I think that's a pretty good assessment as far as looking at how they've performed. Kyler's really good.
Did Baker win Offensive Rookie of the Year?
Yes.
Okay, then how can we... Sam Darnold has done nothing.
Neither is Baker.
Okay, I'm going to say this right here, right now.
Actually, no, I don't think Baker did win Offensive Rookie of the Year because he didn't play like half a season. He might have. I don't know.
If the Jets have the opportunity to draft either Trevor Lawrence or Justin Fields, you need to take him in a heartbeat. Sam Darnold is not good. I'm going to say that right here, right now.
I don't think Sam Darnold's all that bad. He just has...
What, he's had 2 years and he hasn't done anything?
A terrible team. Give the boy a break. He was sick.
We're going to take...
He had mono. Come on. Come on.
He's out here seeing ghosts, Boone. I don't know what to do. If you're my quarterback seeing ghosts.
Anyway, aside from Sam Darnold talk, let's look at Carson Palmer. Carson Palmer, although I don't think was great, he played a long time and won some games. And, I mean, yeah, here's the hard thing about this quarterback You look at all the top quarterbacks. Brady played for Michigan. He has nobody else really with him. Purdue, Drew Brees, Peyton Manning, Tennessee, Montana. I mean, none of them had guys with them. So you have to look at these lower-tier guys, and I'm basing it off of for me, success in the NFL means one of two things. You either had a few seasons where you either won a Super Bowl or were really elite, won an MVP or Rookie of the Year or something, or you just played a long career and were steadily pretty good and could keep your job for a long time. If Carson Palmer was that bad, he wouldn't have kept his job for that long. So for that reason, Carson Palmer puts USC over the really young Oklahoma, who has Baker and Kyler Murray. And I think if I was doing a QBU with Bama, I'd put Jalen Hurts with Bama, not with OU. I'm sorry. I don't know. I mean, that's why I don't think that's why they have Jalen Hurts.
Do you want to talk listed here. Do you want to talk Clemson?
Oh, yeah. I told Mike earlier that maybe in a few years Clemson could get up there just because Deshaun Watson's really good. And then if Trevor Lawrence pans out like people think he is. But aside from those two guys.
And as Mr. David Hale would say, a hot shot recruit. DJ, I'm not even going to try to say that last name.
Yeah.
Uagalali.
He is supposed to be pretty good.
I heard he's from Cali, I believe. He's on one of those really good Cali teams.
You want to talk Louisville? You mentioned them earlier.
Louisville, everyone knows, at least on this podcast, knows that I hate Lamar Jackson. Teddy Bridgewater.
Okay, hate's a strong word.
I do not like
Jamar. You think he's Jackson. Overrated?
I think he's overrated, but he's also just won the MVP.
Nothing.
Teddy Bridgewater, I think, man, I don't want to look bad here, but I honestly don't think Louisville is very good. Because now look, you have an MVP, nice, but who in the heck is Chris Redman and Brian Brom?
I don't know.
And Teddy Bridgewater? Really think he's going to excel away from the Sean Payton?
I think he's pretty good.
I don't think he will.
But
I think we could possibly see what's the XFL PJ Walker come in and play a few games.
Nah.
The GOAT.
Nah.
MVP.
Alright. That's all of our
it's our rankings. I'll ask a few questions and we'll see what time we have. had to write these down so Boom couldn't see them. I did this mid-podcast because I like my questions to be a surprise. But what are your first opinions on the recent Rooney Rule? And then what do you think the resolution to what this has been?
Oh, gosh. You had to ask me. Oh.
Yeah.
First off, when I respond to this question, I don't want to hit... it's a sensitive subject, especially in times that we are in right now. And I don't want to sound derogatory or offend anybody. I'm just... From my point of view, I think this is the best... statistically, I'm using numbers to create my opinion because I think this is a problem that is getting too much attention. Okay, let me run some numbers by y'all. The Rooney Rule, first off, if you don't know what the Rooney Rule is, it's that they had to that NFL owners have to interview a minority for a coaching job. At least one. They need to interview at least one. Which, in my opinion, honestly, I already don't even know if that rule needed to be there. And I know that the coaching world is dominated by white men in the NFL and everywhere.
Along with general managers.
And yes, general managers too. But I want to run some numbers by y'all. 85% of the whole coaching industry from high school and up is white, okay? So if 85% of the whole coaching industry is white, then the leftover 15% is minorities, okay? And the 15%, what's 15% of 32? There's 32 NFL teams, okay? That's 4 or 5, okay? So let's look at the NFL minority jobs. There's about 5, I think 6 if you're including GMs.
Well, I was just trying to think of head coaches. You have Anthony Lynn, the Chargers, Mike Tomlin, Pittsburgh. Any other head coaches?
Yes, Brian Flores. Ron Rivera, he's a minority.
Yeah, he is.
So that's 4 head coaches.
And the Browns general manager. And then the
Browns general manager and the Dolphins. Okay. So that's 6. Okay. So if you're using numbers, I think we're right. The NFL's right on target with just how the demographics are in the industry. It's not... Now, if we flip this... Let's look at the player's side. It's the quite opposite for the players. It's dominated by African American in particular. And I don't think that's a problem. I don't think that it's a problem that the players are dominated by African Americans because it's the best people for the job. They're the best athletes in the world. And,
that's the thing. You want the best at the job.
You don't want to hire based on color. And so what I'm trying to say is, if you look at the demographics, the NFL was already in line. And nobody's complaining about the players being predominantly one race. It's just the coaches. And I just don't think... I think it's accusations of discrimination that don't need to be there. Another stat that I want to run by y'all. I don't know if this is necessarily true. I think I saw this on... It could have been the Pat McAfee show. Could have been another a website or something. But I saw that like 80% of white NFL players go into coaching. And I can't remember the exact percentage of... African Americans who went into coaching, who played in the NFL, but I think it was like 20 or less, okay? So that in itself just shows there's just more white coaches in the industry. And I don't truly think that any owner is going to hire a worse coach because they're a certain color when they could have had a better minority. I don't think color matters to anybody because, honestly, if it was me, I might want a minority more if they're better at the job, because the players are all predominantly minorities. So you would think that would be a, something you would want, but I just don't think there's enough to hire. Because let's look at it, who was a legit person that you could hire this off season? All these teams need new head coaches. The only one that was even available really was Marvin Lewis.
Marvin Lewis and Vance Joseph.
And really, could you...
Marvin Lewis...
And Hugh Jackson. And all coaches who were terrible.
Terrible.
Awful.
I don't think owners are... Maybe there are some, and that's what the Rooney Rule is in place for. And I think where it has been for years is probably in a good place. You go out and you look for one, and if it doesn't work out... And maybe owners need to stop using it as just, let me go get my one, quick interview, done. So I'm not
But I think looking. For this year, that's really all they could have done. Because literally, if I'm an owner, I don't want any of them because they just weren't successful. Well,
Hugh Jackson's awful. We can both agree.
Yeah.
Marvin Lewis
couldn't win a playoff game.
And Vance Joseph was for the Broncos.
And wasn't good.
Wasn't good. Went through about 7 quarterbacks.
So I'm sorry, but like maybe next year. Okay.
You're gonna have
if you ask me if I would take a coach like Mike Tomlin, or I even think Brian Flores is gonna be very good.
I think I've said that before. Well, I think the three that are in the league are top head coaches. Anthony Lynn, I think, is very good. Mike Tomlin, how long has he been there?
He's been there is a while.
Is he one of the longest? He's probably top three longest tenured coaches.
I'd say. Well, Belichick obviously.
Belichick,
Peyton, Pete Carroll.
Pete Carroll's like 2014. I would assume Tomlin's a lot older.
Oh, yeah, no.
Tomlin, remember, because Pete Carroll came from USC.
But who else? I think it would... Yeah, he's up there.
And Brian Flores, I love the Dolphins. Like, I have said that they could be a playoff team. I mean, Brian Flores, I think, is fantastic. Came from the Belichick tree, I guess. I mean,
also, I didn't mention what they wanted to do to fix it was... If you hired a minority to get a better draft pick, I think that is just outrageous to use hiring somebody as... Because that... What does that turn into? Then you could say, okay, well, now you're kind of discriminating against the majority because now maybe teams want to hire a minority over somebody else because they're going to get a better third round draft pick. I mean, it's not that huge, but it's still like, why is the coach you hire affecting your draft slot? That was just a terrible thing, and I'm glad it didn't pass. I didn't think it would.
Well, I think it was just handled awful. It wasn't a very, very good incentive, and it was just a weird random incentive to hire someone. You need to go into the job, hire the best fit. Not off of race, not off of anything else. The best fit. And if an African-American or a minority is the best fit, sign them 100%. Give them whatever they need and whatever they need to succeed. Because at the end of the day, you're trying to succeed as a team. It shouldn't matter on who, what color your players or head coach is or anyone. It's you need to win. That is the objective. And the next few that could be coming into the league, I guess, or that could be vying for head coaching jobs is the Kansas City's offensive coordinator with air quotes because Andy Reid calls the plays. I don't know how to say his name, but he's a minority. But I can't think of like big college coaches that are of minorities. Can you? I mean, the one I think of is not very good, and that's Charlie Strong.
Charlie Strong, yeah. He wasn't good. And I just want y'all to know, that's why I'm saying this. I'm naming good, really good, in my opinion, minority coaches as really bad, and I could do the same for white coaches who are really good and really bad.
Oh, yeah.
So it's not a race thing for me, and I don't think it is for most of the owners. I think honestly, if I'm an owner, like I said, if there's a good minority, I'd hire him and I'd want him, you know? And so, I don't know.
But, I mean, like Boom said, the stat where a lot more white football players go into coaching, that should be a lot of it. A lot of that current head coaches played professional football or at a high school or a college level, and a lot of them are also quarterbacks or had been quarterbacks, yeah, like Jason Garrett. And I don't know the exact...
Sean McVay played high school football, I know. I don't know if he played in
college. And I don't know the exact number, but I'm sure. But, I mean, there's a lot more white quarterbacks.
And a lot of... There's like guys like Kellen Moore, mm-hmm. he played. And he became an offensive coordinator. Like, the guy, stuff like that. I mean, it's just people who have been in the league and go into coaching, more of them are white. And it's just, like I said, it's the demographics of the industry, not necessarily discrimination. Because on the other side of it, there's more players the other color, so.
So, I think we're both good on this subject.
Yeah.
Let's go to something a little bit less heated. I was thinking about this, you know, you got your shower thoughts. I texted this to one of my friends, but Boom. I feel like baseball, I know this is like, we're going off a completely different sport, but it'll go into all sports. I feel like baseball is the only sport without an unidentifiable goat. And if you disagree with me, I want you to name a goat, but I feel like, here, let me just say that, and I'll let you respond to that.
Okay, I want to highlight when I say this, baseball is America's pastime, and I think that since I never got to see him play, and not many people, or I don't know if anybody did that I know, I think you know who I'm about to say, probably, Babe Ruth.
Yeah, that's who Chance said.
I would say Babe Ruth is just because he was a great fielder, great hitter.
He pitched.
Okay, well, by fielder, I mean he played everywhere.
Yeah.
He pitched. He was a great hitter. Just based on stats I've seen, I mean, I never got to see him play.
Yeah.
So, and then I also... Was
sound on the TV, probably.
Yeah, so I'm just saying, like, that I would say is the GOAT right now. But obviously, you could put in, like... Maybe even this could be controversial, Barry Bonds.
Oh, okay.
I mean,
so Barry Bonds, let's pretend he never was on steroids. He is the greatest hitter ever. That is not even close.
He still is. Just because he was on steroids.
Well, because he was on steroids. That's what I was trying to say. If steroids weren't in the picture, he was the greatest hitter ever.
If he didn't get caught.
If he didn't, well, well, yeah.
Okay, but
I've looked at a lot of film of Barry Bonds. This man was one of the only players to ever get walked in the ninth inning with the bases loaded. People yeah. would walk him with the bases loaded. I don't think Trout's getting that respect right now.
Mm-mm. I don't know, Josh Hamilton got walked.
With he the actually bases did. Yeah, Josh Hamilton did, like, I think a few times.
But I want y'all to know something. And this might make you mad. What I'm about to say might make you mad, Mike. I like baseball a lot, and I hate that I kind of... It's another thing that might make you mad, that I'm not even to the point yet. The fan base is dying for baseball, and it's not as... Like, I feel like not as many people love baseball.
I couldn't agree more.
But I think something we have to recognize with Barry Bonds is the game of baseball... I hate to say this, has a history of cheating.
Oh, yeah.
It has a history of cheating. Unfortunately. You can date it back all the way back.
Shoeless Joe Jackson.
To...
When they were betting on
Roger games. Clemens did steroids. He was one of the greatest pitchers of all time, in my opinion. See,
there's so many baseball old heads that want to talk about, we can't change the game of baseball, this is how it's been. But there are literal eras of cheating. How can we not change today's game after... Because baseball, to all these old heads, has a flawless history. There was a PED era. There were people betting on games. Pete Rose was betting on
there
games.
There is no reason, by the way, that Pete Rose shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame.
Agreed, but...
He was betting on his own team to win, not to lose. It's not like he was selling
his team. Like, it's not like he was, like, purposely losing games. It was just making him want to win more. Not to say that betting on games is allowed, but it's not like if he was betting against his team, yeah.
MLB has the worst commissioner in all of sports, and it's not even close. I think my dog could run the league better than this guy. I mean, he's horrible. He is so bad.
Yeah, I just...
I thought Goodell was bad, and then I saw him in another light, and I started to like the guy.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, gosh. I mean, baseball has a history of cheating because I think it's easy, the easiest sport to cheat in. And it's just a problem that keeps happening, and no matter what you do, I think it's going to keep popping up because it's happened forever. Since baseball has been around, there's been cheating. And when anybody's making that much money to do something, it's kind of win at all costs.
Yeah. But the reason I said that they are probably the only sport without a GOAT is because what? NHL has Getzlaf? Is that his name?
Or Wayne Gretzky?
Gretzky,
did
yeah.
Did you really just not know Wayne Gretzky's name?
I mean... You know what, Boom?
I think
your room is about 100. Your room is about 100 degrees, and I'm starting to lose it. Let me tell you, NBA has Jordan, and NFL has Brady. But if you ask a baseball fan, like a hardcore baseball fan, like me and some of the baseball players on the team, we're all going to name someone different if we have to name someone.
I think you could even put Mike Trout up there.
You could. I mean, at the end of his career, he'll be up there. And Mike Trout's one of the best to ever do it. But you'll have people that put Bonds. You'll have people that say Babe.
Some people might even put Ken Griffey.
Some people might put Ken Griffey. If you're from that era, you may put Ken Griffey. Like,
and I'm going to be honest with you. In 15 years, no doubt in my mind, I'm going to be saying Mike Trout was the GOAT.
Mm-hmm.
Just because...
My kids will know that Mike Trout is the GOAT. They will
not. Just because I never got to see Babe Ruth play, and I think that sucks. But you know what?
Well, we never got to see Jordan play.
But I just got a whole documentary. But I just got a whole documentary.
Exactly.
That was good for me, honestly.
It was, because I was putting LeBron pretty close.
I've never put LeBron.
I have put LeBron close, but I've watched a few parts of that documentary. I haven't finished it. I'm very far behind, but. Jordan is the GOAT. Tom Brady is the GOAT. Sorry.
Anytime if you have 6 or 5 rings, if Jordan was 6-0 in the finals, mm-hmm. that means I don't care what teammates he had with him. If you won 6 rings, obviously I think you're probably the reason why your team was winning. If you take Jordan off that team, they didn't win the finals. So I'm tired of people saying, oh, he had Pippen and Rodman.
Well, that used to be my argument, but now that I'm looking at it...
Pippen was really good, but I don't think Pippen, Rodman, any of them are as good without MJ. Because look, LeBron had Kyrie and Kevin Love.
Well, what I'm trying to say is guys like the Warriors. The Warriors, they have 2 championships with that roster, or 3?
3.
Okay, so they have half of Jordan.
Stephen Clay and them won 3. KD won 2 or 1. I don't know, but they had 3. They had 3. I think they had 3. So
I mean, that roster's probably as talented as that Bulls.
More talented.
I would probably say more talented because KD's probably a top 25 player in his career.
I'm sorry, but
Curry's going
to
be a top 25.
KD's one of the hardest players to play defense on of all time.
And he's a 7-foot.
I mean, he's
lengthy
just,
beast that can shoot.
He can move.
Drive.
He can move more than anybody. His height, his wingspan's insane. I mean, I'm sorry, but I love KD. But like, honestly,
but I don't want to get too far off the topic. The original question was, who is the GOAT of baseball? And I feel like baseball is the only sport without an unidentifiable GOAT. And
yeah, I think the only sport that comes close is the NBA, just because the LeBron MJ.
Well, I actually thought the closest would be Brady, just because a lot of people like to discredit Brady because of the cheating and other various things.
But I don't know.
But when you win that much and you win so well.
I've also thought about that, though. I think it's just kind of crazy that we don't have that. But I think Babe Ruth's probably what the majority would say.
Yeah, and if MLB ever did something with their players, like, who do you think is the most popular player in baseball? Popular.
Trout?
No, probably. It's Harper. Harper gets the most media or social media stuff. He's on the news a lot more. He does a lot more with his fans. MLB is just pretty much like they're still running their organization like it's the 60s.
Another guy who almost could be up there in the GOAT talk, Willie Mays.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, one of the better fielders of all time. See, that's the thing. No one knows anything about about these players because they played when the freaking dinosaurs were roaming the earth.
And nobody knows if they were cheating, too. I'm sorry, but you can't tell me that Roger Clemens and Barry Bonds were the only ones using steroids at that time. Come on now.
Yeah, I mean, were they testing when Babe Ruth was like a 250
Can't tell me that if Roger Clemens was taking steroids, that half the batters he faced weren't also.
Well, that was during steroids. The PED era, so he was at a disadvantage in not taking steroids, let's be honest. Yeah. So that's another topic we can go into another time, and how baseball needs to change. I could talk about 2 hours of things that I think baseball could do.
And Bryce Harper, by the way. Bryce Harper for president.
Yes, Bryce Harper for commissioner, dude. He came out with this big proposal. I don't know if we want to read it off. I don't know if you can find it real quick, but we're running about 50 minutes here, which I think is a good length. We've talked about a lot of different things, but we can end it here on this Bryce Harper thing. So a lot of things have come out. I think I talked about it in my last podcast on the thing about MLB trying to come back, but this is Bryce Harper's proposal. This is on his Instagram.
He says, this is the caption to his Instagram post. Baseball season, beyond the health and safety, which comes first for all players, staff, workers, fans, and families, just an idea I've been thinking about. East and West, like the NBA, July 31 days, August 31 days, September 30 days, October 31 days, November 15 days. 135 games, off day every 2 weeks on a Monday and Sunday, doubleheader 7 innings. 30 players, 6-man rotation, save arms if pitchers wanted this, if not, no big deal. DH and any other ideas possible. Playoffs, this is my favorite. 2-week World Series, like Super Bowl week. 10-team round-robin format, College World Series kind of style, at the new Texas Stadium or whatever stadiums are best. 3-game series, you win the series, you move on, you lose, you play the other loser in a 1-game wild card, winner of that moves on, other team is out. Or you could play it in Vegas, so you could have the strip hotels and could use one hotel for all the guys and contain possibly. 2 teams left, 7-game World Series, they get 2 days off before the series. With those 2 days off, you do an All-Star Game and Home Run Derby. Could do the MLB Awards as well at this time. Open this up on all platforms, no blackouts. Open it for everybody to watch. Then you back up season the next 32 years. Oh, whoa. the next 2 years. Yeah. May 1st, 2021, April 1st, 2022. Maybe I'm crazy, just fun to think about and throw around
ideas. Bryce Harper for commissioner. And I like it.
I just like the College World Series style.
Well, college thing. Does the playoffs so well.
Yeah, and
because it, let's
not think, a lot of people watch college baseball in the regular season, but I love, man. I go to those. I'll go to TCU's hosted a bunch of regionals and super regionals.
Yeah,
which is like the first and second round, and like the best, the what they call the national seeds, like the top 8, get to host these. And so I've got to see those, and those are fun to watch. They have, I think, 4 teams in it, and they just do a round rob, or they do, like, a double elimination bracket. And it's just cool, and then they start with, like, 64 and end up 8 teams in Omaha doing the College World Series. That's what he's saying, doing the top 10 teams have, like, a round robin, double elimination type College World Series playoffs type deal. And then also the All-Star Game and Home Run Derby, the 2 days before the World Series, that'd be just a cool 2 weeks.
Oh, yeah.
And that would promote baseball a lot. 2 weeks of
baseball.
And I think a lot of people watch the Home Run Derby and All-Star Game that aren't even big baseball fans. So,
because it's fun, cool events to watch.
It's just going to bring, I think that 2 weeks would be a big boost for baseball instead of having it separated months like they do now.
And I've always said that I think the season length should be changed. A lot of baseball fans hate me for saying that, but like football, I watch every single Cowboys game and other games.
I watch almost every, like,
almost every game for every team. But if you are trying to tell me that you watch, like, let's just say half, I definitely don't even watch half of the Rangers games each year.
No.
Because, what, it's the same thing every year. It's just a different pitcher on the mound, same players for each position. If we could just shorten the season, now, obviously the players would never want this. Even though they would have to work less, what would also go down? Their money. Because their MLB's not making as much money from each game sold and TV license.
But I think that there'd be a lot more fans at these games if there was less.
Maybe. But I think a lot more people would just appreciate baseball more. Because halfway through the season, I don't even know what's happening. I don't know who... I mean, I know who's playing, but... What individual stat totals? I mean, has one guy could have been hot last week, and I don't even know about it because I haven't kept up with it. Like
I say, the NBA and NHL even, I'd say I only watch about half of the Stars and Mavs games. Yeah. And they're only 80, or the NBA I know is 86 games.
Just because sports can be kind of repetitive. But football... Obviously, you wouldn't move baseball.
I mean, football also has the thing about being the greatest sport on earth.
That's going facts. For football is so good, dude. Football is great. But any last words, Boom? You got anything else? And we'll shut this down.
I'm just ready to figure out what this GoPro is like.
Yeah, we're about to go kayaking around the plain or lake. Not tonight. It's like 11:20. But yeah, I thank anyone for listening. Me and Boom are probably gonna go chill after this, and then maybe record another one tomorrow or something, trying to get some content out. But yeah, thank everyone for listening, and goodbye.